I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show, everybody. If it's your first time here, hi. What we do is we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time. We are nearing the end very closely. We're not there yet, but we're getting close. So, tune in while you can, because after that, who knows? Who knows? I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, are you feeling the senioritis, as it were, about us nearing the end? Again, we still got a little while to go, but it's close. How are you feeling about it?
Kind of melancholy. I was looking at the wheel today, and we've reached the point where you can read every song left on the wheel. in the little window. Like, we have 28 weeks left, 28 shows to go. So yeah, a little bummed that we're coming to the end of this journey here, and a little bummed about last week's poll results, but other than that, looking forward to spinning a good one here tonight.
Much like the movie, 28 weeks later and the end is upon us. That's the sequel. So don't watch the sequel. Watch 28 Days Later. That's the better one anyway. But I digress. Hey, you know what though? You and I are not alone.
Nope.
We always enjoy a good show where Corey and I just go back and forth, and you know, it's like the old school days, but it's way more fun when we've got extra perspectives. So we have some patrons with us on the show. You've heard them before. You've seen them before. You love their hot takes. Michael Griffith, Matt Lacoste, welcome back to the show, boys.
Good to be back.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, always a fun time, you guys. So I mentioned this off air, and I'll just go ahead and mention it now because it's sort of relevant. If you guys have been listening to us for a while, then you know that I'm not going to say we make fun or poke fun. I'll just say we enjoy a little bit of comedic banter at the expense of the great and wonderful Gary Sharon. One of our popular catchphrases is apologies to Gary because of Van Halen 3. But anyway, we're not going to do that. What I am getting at is apparently, because Gary is in the band Extreme, as you all know, his guitar player Nuno, it is his birthday today. So I just wanted to just kind of throw in a quick shout out to happy birthday, Nuno, guitar virtuoso. Like, if you guys don't listen to enough Extreme and don't know about his guitar playing ability, get learned. That's all I should say. Get learned, because that guy is a beast. So happy birthday to you. I'm not sure how old he is at this point, but it's his birthday. And
as always,
for all of, as always, apologies seeing, to Gary. Everyone's seeing on YouTube right now. Yeah, just the apologies to Gary shirt. That's,
and you can get the apologies to Gary shirt, yes, on our, there it on is, our yeah. webpage, yeah. Podcastwillrock.com.
Great.
Just giving him, that's a perfect face too, just because he's just like he has the look of what the hell is happening, like, why is everyone apologizing?
What are you ripping? What happened? Why am I being apologized for?
Yeah. Seriously, you guys go to our merch store, podcastwillrock.com, get the shirt, wear it. Eventually, if enough people wear these shirts, he's gonna see it and go like, what the hell is that all about? And you tell him Podcast Will Rock. Like, go to the site, check out the podcast, and if he's so inclined, you can join in the conversation. Gary, we would love to have you, love to talk to you.
We're not gonna do it.
Not this time. There's no Kevin.
I don't
Brown,
have it queued so up.
Can't do it. Yeah.
I don't have it queued up. Sorry.
Yeah. Nuno is
Kevin
a
Brown
spreader.
Was lurking.
Nuno yes, is a spreader. Get on that.
Yes,
absolutely he is.
He is.
So do that. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. So, but in other news, in other Van Halen news, Corey, what you got for me?
Oh, we got a couple of articles on the old Van Halen news desk, the tape archives, which just recently did that great documentary on the 1984 years. They just posted a never before heard interview with Sammy Hagar from 1997. So he was out of the band at this point, talking about how he was going to, his falling out with Eddie and Alex, how he was going to rebuild his solo career, and how he thinks Gary Cherone would do in Van Halen. So the audio for that is up on the Van Halen news desk. We also have a nice little tribute from Joe Perry. Eddie famously hated Joe Perry because Joe Perry was kind of a dick to him. In fairness, Joe was probably drunk or wasted out of his mind. But Joe Perry listed Eddie as one of the guitarists who influenced the sound, along with Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page and those guys. And this one I found kind of interesting. Van Halen dominates the charts in five U.S. states. So what they did is they checked the Google stats for every single state to see which classic rock band came up. And Van Halen came up in five different states. They came up in Connecticut, Michigan, Missouri, Tennessee, and Wisconsin.
Woo, Tennessee. What's up?
Yeah, and really we're going to bring up the map here so you guys can take a look at it. Guns N' Roses was also number one in five states. They're number one in Indiana, Kansas, Minnesota, Virginia, and West Virginia. ZZ Top, to the surprise of no one, has a nice big spot
the territory
right there.
Of ZZ Top. It's all of Texas, and it's all of Louisiana.
How are the Roberts from California and not Van Halen? I mean, they're from...
I know, right?
Yeah.
The ZZ Top thing tracks. The Ramones thing is bizarre. Why aren't the Ramones bizarre. New York? And what is
some
New
of these
York?
Are bizarre.
Read that.
Okay. You guys got to help me out here because I'm Canadian. Who picked Rush? What is right, by Nevada here?
Oh, let's see. Where is Rush? Oh, right there. That's Colorado. That's Colorado.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, hold on.
Rush is the most popular in Colorado? That's weird.
Iowa.
Okay, I'll tell you two that track absolutely. The two states I know here: Montana, Steve Miller Band. Yep,
that's Utah.
AC/DC.
Well, that's Colorado next door. Fleetwood Mac is Colorado.
Is AC/DC on? Is that North Dakota?
That's North Dakota. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a weird.
This doesn't make
sure.
Any sense at all.
Yeah. AC/DC totally makes sense in North Dakota. Believe me, I've been to mine on North Dakota.
Okay, well, I'll take your.
How about the Guess Who? Guess Who in South Dakota?
Insane. I couldn't
probably
read it from
three
here.
People
yeah,
voted because there's like yes. five people that live there.
I mean, maybe all the corn husks voted and they're just really into the Guess Who. I don't understand how Queen is dominating Utah. That seems really odd to me, but we'll take it.
How about the Doobie Brothers?
Oh, that's
that?
Idaho. That's Idaho.
Yeah, this looks like
that's Idaho.
You guys are American.
Right?
Come on.
Oh, that is Idaho. Yeah, that's right.
But that's still bizarre. Are you kidding? I have family in Idaho. They are not Queen fans. They are weird.
Maybe Rush is. Maybe that's not Colorado. Maybe that's Utah. I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah, but I don't think Rush is a Mormon thing. Are we just pissing off everybody from every state right now?
I mean, I'll tell you,
Scott Monroe's happy. He says Queen is acceptable for Maine because that's where he's from. So that's a good one. To the shock of no one, how about Bon Jovi? That's got to be New Jersey, right there, right?
Yes,
that's absolutely New Jersey. That's that's
Who the heck picked ELO? Like, seriously, ELO? Where the fuck is that?
Where is ELO? Where is it?
It's between Guns N' Roses and the Eagles here, right here.
Where?
Right here.
Where is it? Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see your arrow.
Look beneath the Great Lakes here with the two Van Halens. There's Chicago, which I'm assuming is Illinois. Guns N' Roses. And then ELO.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's Ohio.
Wow, really?
That's right there beside, like, right above Kiss in Kentucky, which the fact that Kiss won Kentucky is bizarre to me, but hey, whatever. And not, I'll be honest with you.
You're right. ELO right there is so bizarre. Ohio, it's
But also, look who won Florida, Queen. Obviously, I would say that probably tracks a little bit. I would now, think so. Now, because it's relevant
based
to
on
me,
their voting records.
Yeah, based on
good call.
That's a whole other show.
But
Van Halen winning Tennessee is very interesting because I honestly would have pegged maybe I probably would have said AC/DC or Lynyrd Skynyrd because there's just so I know it, you would think Alabama and as you can see on this chart, Lynyrd Skynyrd won both Alabama and Mississippi. Also, they both track that both that tracks for both. But Tennessee's got a hell of a lot of Lynyrd Skynyrd people here. But I'm glad to see that Van Halen won. Van Halen looks like they've dominated like this whole map. Just about.
They got five and GNR got five. I'm still shocked by the Guess Who because they're not even popular in Canada. And we're very loyal to our Canadian bands. Nobody up here gives two flying fucks about the Guess Who. But South Dakota, hell yeah, bring on the Guess Who. American Woman, why not?
What the Grateful Dead get? What is that up there? It's not Maine. You got Queen in Maine and then Zeppelin. Zeppelin with just like fucking Delaware or something. They got like one thing.
Is that Queens in Maine? Is that like Vermont for a Grateful Dead?
Vermont's down south a little bit.
Is it down south a little
bit? My geography's
I don't know what state that is. Obviously, as Americans, we're not good at geography.
So Aerosmith, Massachusetts, right? So
they weren't.
I would assume.
No.
New York is Sabbath. How about, or is that?
Where, do you see Blondie there? Who the hell picked Blondie right below the Grateful Dead? Is that
I wish they would have labeled the states on the
because I just assumed the Americans on the paddle would know this, but
well, here's the thing: we know it if we are frequenters of that particular state, but if we're not familiar with it, then we won't know it. Here's my question: that is Vermont for Grateful Dead. That's
yes, thank you.
Crazy. It is okay.
But here, here's
says
my
that
question.
Tracks Ben and Jerry's makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, good job. Well, there you go.
Good job, Scott. Yeah.
Thank you, Scott. But my question is this, because I can't really read it from here. Who won Alaska?
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah.
Is that what the Alaskan people are just listening to? Just listening to Creedence? I'm not knocking.
They
Creedence.
Love
I'm
their
just
Creedence.
Saying, I don't get it.
Wait, and I think won the Bayou. It's supposed to be like Louisiana and shit.
Yeah, like Creedence should have won Louisiana at or maybe Mississippi, but like
that's hilarious.
They got squeezed by Skynyrd.
Yeah, I don't know.
How about Santana for Hawaii?
I mean, I could see that.
Really, it's Santana weird, Hawaii?
I could see that just because there's some songs that kind of give you that sort of feel of being on a beach, and Hawaii is. You know, it's a series of islands. There's beach everywhere. So, yeah, I could see that.
The Doobie Brothers got three states.
I don't understand that.
The Doobie Brothers?
Any of the, I mean, I love the Doobie Brothers, but, I don't understand how an entire state, based on Google Trends, decided Doobie Brothers was our number one. I don't get it.
Yeah, both the Carolinas.
That means Ted Templeman got eight states if you add both bands up.
There you go. Yeah,
That's what it is. You discovered the secret, Michael. It's like this is a Templeman thing. I get it. I get it now.
That's
some fun stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least
very surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
And that's about all we have for news, Mark.
All right. Cool. Good stuff. I like that we ended on a fun little activity there. So. We do have a poll. We do have a poll this week. Yeah, that's my sentiment exactly. Not because I'm against the poll or I'm angry. I'm just confused. So, I know I didn't do my homework because it's not already pulled up, but I'm pulling it up right now. Here we go. I already know what the answer is, but I'm just going to pull it up because I need to look at something. I need visual cues. So, you guys, the last song that we spun was Pound Cake from the For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge or the Fuck album. It's one we've been manifesting for a long time. A lot of us, we've been wanting to just really dive into this particular track. Personally, one of my favorites, one of Sammy's best, I would say, or at least one of the best of the Sammy era. It seems that not everyone shares that that same sentiment, because while Pound Cake did get a mostly positive review, here's the thing. 83.7% What Dreams Are Made Of for Pound Cake, with a 16.3% The Dream Is Over. And I just don't understand. I don't understand how this track didn't crack 90%, other than my only guess, and I know I keep saying it because I guess it's true, the naysayers of Sammy just absolutely will not let him win. So that's my only guess. Corey, do you have an explanation you could possibly think of for this?
You know, what's even more shocking is it scored well under the live version from Live Right Here Right Now, and we spun that as part of that live show. It got 89.10%. So it was scored higher there. It's absolutely sickening that Pound Cake is the 45th highest rated song that we've covered thus far out of 98 songs. It ranks in at number 45, and that's just fucking wrong.
That's ridiculous. It's wrong. What do you guys think, Michael, Matt?
I love this song. I mean, I played the hell out of this thing when I got the For Unlawful album. This is 91. I have a sad Van Halen story. So, you know, grunge is starting, and I was at the Right Here, Right Now concert when they filmed it on the first night, and I'm actually wearing it now. It's a Pound Cake shirt from the Van Halen show, and that has the definition on the back and the band on the front. And I proudly wore it to school the next day. And I got made fun of for wearing, which just seems unbelievable. Like, who makes fun of someone in a Van Halen shirt? And I remember getting made fun of having a Van Halen shirt on, I guess the height of Nirvana and Pearl Jam and whatever. But
they tend to scoff at those kind of bands of yesteryear, of that time period. So
yeah,
I could see that. That's still a travesty, though. Why would you celebrate it? He's wearing a Van Halen shirt. Celebrate it.
I saw that show and I wore the fuck shirt to high school and they made me turn it inside out. I almost got kicked out of school. But it was fine. Whatever. Fine.
Yeah.
It's a travesty that didn't get at least 90%. That's, I mean, again, I was lucky enough to spin that with you guys last week. And to me, it's a top five Sammy song. I don't know what you're looking for. I mean, if you're out here, if you're a Roth guy and I'm a Roth guy, but you're out here just downvoting Sammy shit, like, get a life, man. I just think it's lame. Truly. Like, it's a good song. It's a great Van Halen song. I don't know. I don't know how
it really is. I think people just are not. Someone in the chat said, I'm sorry, I missed who said it, but someone said the DLR. There it is. Scott Monroe said the DLR Army, man, they're organized. They are. I can't even blame our friend John Mariano for his cult, because I think they've disbanded at this point. Now it's just the cult of David Lee Roth and organized buffoonery indeed, Jeff. But I mean, I don't get it. Check my math on this, but so far with the Sammy songs we've covered, not one of them have broken 90%, right?
Nope. Our highest rated Sammy song is still Why Can't This Be Love at 87.9%.
Well,
still couldn't
get it. That tracks. Still could...
I just don't like it baffles me. And I wonder if you guys out there, if you guys are listening to the show and you downvoted Pound Cake and you just keep downvoting Sammy tunes, is it just because it's Sammy, or do you just not dig that era of Van Halen? Do you think the songs that we've covered that have been Sammy songs are just not good? I don't know. I really want to know a legit reason. So let's go to the tweets. Maybe we'll hear something.
I'll tell you what,
I doubt it, but yeah.
Before we do that, Scott asked, how did Pound Cake compare with the other fuck tracks we've covered?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Pretty well, unfortunately. All of these should be higher. Runaround is the leader at 85.5%, and then Pound Cake at 83.7%. Then we have Right Now at 82, Judgment Day at 80, and then In-N-Out is 70, and Man on a Mission, 57.
Is it possible that we just seem to love this album a lot more than everybody else?
It sure seems that way, I tell you.
It does. I demand an explanation. So let's go to the tweets, and we'll read the tweets from our patrons, because if you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, join our Patreon, like these gentlemen here. Matter of fact, I'll go to the tweet made by Matt Lacoste himself. He said, come on, this has to be 95%. Let's go. I wish, Matt. I wanted it. I begged for it mentally. I was just pleading. I was manifesting a 95% at the most. We didn't come close. So
I wonder which Sammy track is going to get there, because I clearly is a DLR.
Yeah. If it's not that, I mean, we can. You know what? We'll hold that thought. We'll speculate in a bit on that one, because that I think that is a conversation worth having. But
yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. So, but Tom, our buddy Tom in the chat, Tom Armbruster says, after hearing this, you kind of wish Andy Johns had produced all of Van Halen's releases, especially OU812 and Van Halen 3. Everybody sounds great, and it's a kick-ass song. No argument here, Tom. Not at all. But evidently, 16% of people just thought, nah, not so much. Sean Geek and Fast Fret Podcast, our buddies over there, said, I remember hearing this as the lead to this album release, to the opening song on the tour, Fast Fret, and my first time seeing Van Halen, with the Frankenstrat, Ted, Drill, and looking at each other like, holy frack, here we are in Van Halen world. Even if this was a bad song, the memories attached would rocket this to the top. But it ain't a bad song by any stretch, and even the lyrics I appreciate. That's good. As great as Eddie and Sammy are here, this is the Mike and Alex show for me. Bonham-esque drums, John Paul Jones almost bass parts. This is modern Zeppelin at its best. Actually, I prefer this better. I don't know that I would say it's modern Zeppelin necessarily, but I understand your sentiment, and I do think it's I like this best as well. So cool stuff there. All right, moving on. Our buddy Kevin Brown says, if you're downvoting this, get your head out of Dave's ass. Great arrangement, ingenuity from Ed, great solo, Mikey thundering along with Al in the cleanest rhythm part of the Hagar era, and Sammy killing it on the mic. Immaculately produced. Oh, and it's fucking fun. And you have to say it with a British accent. I'm not going to do that now. I'll do that some other time. But just imagine a Brit saying fucking fun. And you're right, Kevin. It is. It is fucking fun. And I just wish 16% of the voters understood that. But, you know, c'est la vie. Greg Zito says, this was my first CD. I hit play and heard that guitar and those drums through the headphones, and it melted my teenage brain. Incredible. Absolutely, for sure, man. I'm right there with you. Our buddy Josh says, down voters can go pound sand, not cake, sand. I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. And our buddy Jeff Brewer says, I'm just glad Sam didn't name this song Lunch Pail and choosing instead a slightly less cheeseball metaphor. Other than that, the song is incredible. Everyone and everything sounds great here, and the guitar work is tasteful and interesting, as per Ed's typical modus operandi. Yeah. I think not naming it Lunch Pail, it was a good idea as well, because I don't want to give it the haters any more ammunition. So Pound Cake was the way to go, and I'm glad they stuck with it. Our buddy Chaz Mataz says, this is horseshit. Our analytics need further adjustment based on the composition of the audience. Sam is never going to get a fair shake. Folks, it's still Van fucking Halen. This song easily an 88 to 93%. Again, you're preaching to the choir, Chaz, but the voter's going to vote. And, you know, just while we still got a positive percentage overall, it's just that 16% just is like a thorn in your side. Lastly, our friend Scott Monroe, who's in the chat, says peak Hagar era tone, and it should be in the conversation for best Van Halen album opener. I agree. Eddie Van Halen's flourishes reach new heights, and the relentless jamming of the brothers drills, pun intended, into your brain. Downvoters can go F-U-C-K off. Hashtag what dreams are made of. I see what you did there. I'll go ahead. I'll read it real quick. He did do a little mini manifesto on top of that. The song's got to have soul or it won't feel right. Its musical structure is just plain, clean and simple, wrapped up nice and tight. It's a homegrown and down home. That makes an album opener, cooking up that old time long lost recipe. Lyrically, it's getting hard to find anything wrong with this song. Guess it ain't Roth enough now. You take an average Dave guy who can't identify, and there's a short supply of the Drive 55 stuff. Let me get on some of that solo. Shake it up, pick the strings out nice. I still love my Halen pound cake. I've been out there, I've tried a little bit of everything, but it's all metal without pop. I found the real thing is pound cake. So he's I see what he's doing, getting a little lyrical, little poetry going. We appreciate that about you, Scott. So there you go. We learned absolutely nothing other than our fellow friends are in agreement with us. They're just like, this is a kick-ass song. I don't understand why it's not higher voted, and I don't understand it either. So Tom says, new poll suggestion. Tom, yeah. Dave fan or Sammy fan? Let's get a picture. That, you know what? I'm afraid to make that sort of poll because like I already know what it's going to look like. But I would, maybe I'll do a caveat. Vote how you vote and tell me why. Well, look, we got to get to the bottom of it.
I'm a Dave fan. It's self-admitted.
Sure.
All the way, gone through the whole thing, said it 1,000 times. This is the fifth time I've been with you boys, and I've mentioned it way too many times, I guess, but whatever. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I can admit that this song slaps. I have no idea what anybody's problem is. This is one of the best, like I said, this is one of the best sounding albums and the best album opener from the Sammy era for me. And you may have the others, but like, I don't know what's wrong with people. That's just weird. It's just weird.
It slaps. Yeah, it is weird. It's upsetting and it's just like, it's confusing, but it's, you know,
I just feel like let's save the 80% for like fucking Amsterdam or Spanked. Like let's do that.
Yeah.
Like because indeed, this actually makes like the criticisms of those dumb songs that when they're going to come, this actually takes our ammo away because it's like, as a Dave fan, the rest of these Dave dumb dicks, they're going to be like, oh, well, that song sucks. It's like, well, you said pound cake sucks. So what's your opinion? You just think everything Sammy does sucks. So it's going to take the wind out of my sails. So I was going to vote for Amsterdam tonight because I can't wait to have some fun.
The sad thing, too, is this album really aged well. The other Sammy albums with the keyboards and whatever, they've aged okay. I still love them, but they have not aged as well as this. And the Dave stuff, they obviously aged very well too.
This and 5150, the two ones that just still
exactly
all killer, no filler.
It's it is a conundrum. It is a questionable, but you know, what are you going to do? Right. We'll have to inquire further. I like Tom's idea, although I'll have to, I'm not excited for what those results may be. But yeah, look, we're all Dave guys because Dave was an integral part of Van Halen. Like that's the thing I still have to explain to people. Just because I'm pro Sammy doesn't mean I'm anti Dave. It's not a thing. I love what David Lee Roth contributed. However, I'm not going to sit here and just downvote Sammy just because I think Dave's stuff was. I guess if I felt that Dave was the better frontman, I'm not going to downvote Sammy just for the basis of, well, it's not Dave, so no thanks. Like, come on, grow up, live a little, listen to some music, open your mind, expand your horizons. But at this point, there's no telling it whose minds were going to change. It makes me wonder, Corey, what are we going to see for the results of the rest of this album? We still got some good bangers on the fuck album left to go, and I don't think any of them are going to crack 90%.
I don't think so either, but I got to say, Matt mentioned Spanked getting 80. If Spanked gets 80% positive, I will eat my Van Halen shirt that I'm currently wearing.
Don't make him do it, folks. Like Corey's on he's training. He's on a diet regime. He's trying to do better. Don't make him eat a shirt.
Don't make me eat my shirt, please.
No. It kills dogs when they eat shirts. Don't
try. Perfectly good shirt. Yeah, yeah. It's a perfectly good shirt. Van Halen shirt. Don't make him eat this.
It's my Van Halen 2 era shirt.
And we're not going to film it. So don't get that out of your head. So, there you have it. Yeah, I just, I'm baffled. I'm confused. But that seems to be the theme of the day. But I digress. All right. So there you go, guys. As I said before, if you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, join the Patreon. Join the Patreon if you're one of those downvoters so that we can really read your tweet on the air. And I just really want to know. I just want to know what's going on in your minds. What's going on in your thick skulls? Who hurt you? Why don't you like awesome music? I got to know. We just got to know. Inquiring minds want to know. And Corey, what I want to know is, are you ready to spin the wheel?
I am. But first, before we do that, everybody take a drink. We have to manifest.
There it is, manifestations. All right.
All right. We got a lot of
cool. I don't have the Discord pulled up.
I do. We got a lot of cool ones in the Discord server. Scott Manifesto Monroe says, let's keep the fuck train rolling with Top of the World. That'd be pretty awesome.
It would be awesome.
Chaz wants to hear Spanked because he's a thief of joy. Jeff Brewer wants to hear House of Pain because Tom, earlier in the conversation, has said the next Dave tune that spins, he's downvoting it just to show those fuckers a lesson. So I think Jeff's calling him out on that, saying, I'll pick a good one and see if you're going to downvote it. Yeah. Chaz again was Spanked because I hate him. And Kevin Brown wants to hear Aftershock. So that'll be interesting.
Ooh, there you go. All right.
I don't want to hear any of those fucking songs. You guys are all crazy. I'm thinking, you know, we were talking Sammy album openers, and Pound Cake is the best one. But there was a pretty good one off 5150 as well. I want to hear Good Enough.
Good Enough. That would be fun. That would be fun to talk about. Some thoughts in the brain there. So, Matt, what are you manifesting?
I listened to it today, and it came up in the mix. Aftershock. I want to hear Aftershock. Let's do that. So a killer
two for Aftershock. Yeah. More Sammy all the time. Michael Griffith, how about yourself?
I was all set to manifest a Dave song, but I feel bad for the redheads over what we've just been talking about. So I think I'm going to pivot to Sam. So we haven't done Summer Nights, have we?
Ooh. Nope, Summer Nights is still on the
way. Not.
Which I do think that would be my pick as a song that could possibly break that barrier.
That fucking better if it happens. That's
well, somebody, I think Scott in the chat said Humans Being might have a shot too.
That would be cool if nothing else, just for the fact that, you know, people might have like a nostalgic connection to it due to its involvement with the hit blockbuster film Twister. That I love. So, but if that's the case, if that's the one that's going to be the Sammy track that cracked 90%, then fine. I think there are other tracks that deserve that rating, but we'll take what we can get, I guess. I am going to manifest the aforementioned, somebody mentioned it, Amsterdam, actually, for two reasons. One, the obvious reason is because if we get Amsterdam, then we get another guest on the show. And then two, I mean, I'm going to manifest like all the Sammy that I possibly can, because it's just, maybe I'm an agent of chaos too. And I just want to see it all burn down. And I just want to see the downvoters lose their mind. I don't know. But Amsterdam for me.
I love it.
It's the way the world works sometimes. So with all those manifestations in mind, I'm ready. Matt, I think you're ready. Michael's ready. Corey, I know you're ready. So if Sammy's ready in the back, what say we spin this thing? We've got four people on the panel. What say you prime that wheel four times?
Yeah, we got four in the panel. We got five in the lurking as well. Let's do this thing nine times.
So you want to do nine? You want to do nine times? Okay.
Five, six, seven, eight, nine times. All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh.
We're going to go back to a different kind of truth. Jeez, beats working.
All right.
We should have known better. You guys, there was too much Sammy manifestation happening. We should have known.
You guys won't believe me, but that was the Dave song I was going to pick. Was Beats.
Really?
Really? Oh, you should have called it.
I should have called it.
Shot, man.
I got it right.
But no, I get it. Yeah, that would have been, well, if you had called your shot and landed it, we would have been like, oh, damn it, Michael, you ruined it. We were going to get a Sammy. No, it's fine. No, the wheel decided, nah, we're taking a break from Sammy, going back to Dave. So the different kind of truth era. Any fond memories of this song or any special connections without showing your hand so far? I asked the panel.
Yeah, I can jump on this. So
sure.
Having been a Van Halen fan since a little kid, I had never seen David with Van Halen. One of the first concerts I saw was David's solo band with Steve Vai, Eat 'Em and Smile Tour, right? That was in seventh grade. So I never saw Van Halen as a kid. And, you know, and then the rumor of the reunion happened, and it did. The reunion kind of happened, but it didn't happen. It was just like, oh, God, horseshit. And they gave us those two songs, Can't Give Us Love and Me Wise Magic. And I thought they were marginal, whatever. But then I think one of the most masterful album drops of all time was A Different Kind of Truth. The way they released that, when they were doing, it was like every week or every 2 weeks, they were releasing like 60 seconds of each song.
Yeah.
And while they were coming, like I was losing my mind. It was like, holy shit. This is Roth, Van Halen, like, wow, 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 wow. And it was a thing, man, because, I mean, it had been, I don't know what, I mean, really, truly, for a full Van Halen album since 84 to 2012. So, yeah, this was when this album came out, this was immediately one of my favorite songs on the album. It was like this, Stay Frosty, and She's the Woman. But like this, yeah, this thing slaps. It's really good. And it's Wolfie, man. Wolfie adds a lot to this whole thing, but this is an Eddie tour de force.
All right. Well, there we go. Yeah, a lot of contributions. As you guys know, contributions from Wolfie was pretty rampant in this album. So I'm excited. I have nothing. I don't know that I really checked this song out when the album came out. So I'm going into this one pretty fresh myself. So I'm excited to hear what it is. Hopefully it's a yay and not a nay, but we will see. Corey, anything to add?
No, just that this is the album closer on A Different Kind of Truth. And this was originally titled Put Out the Lights. Yep. Fans going way back would recognize that because it was actually on the Gene Simmons demo tape that the band did way back in 1976. So they just kind of reworked it.
The Warner Brothers releases.
That's right. Yep.
Yep. I would just add that, you know, hearing it in 2012 when it came out and a couple of years after that versus, you know, 2018, 19, 20, and recently is a completely different experience. It's almost, that's it. Call it a career with this song.
Yeah.
You know, so it's now it has a melancholy vibe to it, I think, because it's over. I mean, this is it. And it's a good swan song, but, you know, you're right. I have that perspective with it too.
Michael, you're totally right. This is like David Lee Roth's last good vocal performance ever.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
It's shameful, but he sounds great on this. I think.
Well, now the judging cap is really going to be on for this one. So
yeah. Go nuts.
Can't wait to jump into this one. So
I like this one. Yeah.
All right. So.
All right.
Well, what do you say? We get ready and do this.
Let's do it. Let's head back to 2012 and A Different Kind of Truth. This is Beats Working. We'll be right back. And that's the song. Everybody, what'd you
think? There it is.
Let's go.
What a killer, dare I say, grunge era type of a song. I honestly love that. I love that opener. That's it's very, very muddy, very heavy. Not a typical Van Halen opener right off the bat. And a little drum fill in by Alex is always welcome. It's always a welcome addition. That's cool. If you had told me if I had no idea what we were listening to and you had said, like, here's Van Halen, you just played a little bit of it, I went, I don't think so. That sounds like, I might have said, like, early Soundgarden, but, like, Van Halen, I don't think so.
I was going to say Soundgarden, yeah.
I would say
there's a little bit of that tone, yeah.
We don't have any lyrics yet. The one lyric we have is the title of the song, and it's already a Davism. Is it beats working? Like, oh, I hate working. This beat's working. Or is it this beat is working? So we already kind of don't know which direction Dave's going to go when you first hear the song.
Indeed.
But
in either way, it's working.
Here's the thing. I will say this. You guys, so the previous different kind of truth songs, there's been some discussion about the sound. And I cannot disagree more. I think the sound on this album is amazing. I think it's really
great.
It's super bottom heavy. You can hear Alex. Wolfgang is so heavily involved in this thing, and they did everything they can to make Raw sound good, and they do it. They actually pull it off. I think this album sounds amazing.
I agree.
So I don't know where that stuff comes from. I think it was the Stay Frosty cast when you guys were doing that one. It was like, it's muddy bottom. It's like, no.
That was Mark.
It's crazy.
That was me? Oh, yes.
It's crazy.
I don't remember what I said about Stay Frosty.
Oh, you went 1-2 sounds like shit. This does not sound like
it
shit.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound great. That's true.
Yeah.
Who is that doing background vocals with harmonies with him? Is that Wolfgang or is that
David.
Eddie?
It's David.
Oh, it's Dave. Okay.
David
okay.
Tracked on Dave. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Well,
because I was going to say, I was like, despite Mikey not being on this and, you know, he's our harmony guy. Eddie does too, but I mean, you know what I mean? It's Mikey. But on this album, yeah, I was just kind of going like, those are very clean harmonies there. So it makes me wonder, is like, was that Dave or was that Wolfie or Eddie? So cool. Dave, good job, Dave.
I think it could have used Michael.
Yes.
Michael's backing up Dave there. Like that would sound.
That's always yes.
Fucking amazing. But I don't know. This is a good vocal by David.
This song's interesting.
It's him. Like, what is he saying? I don't know. Who cares? It's fine.
Here today, gone later today. I've been reading what the bloggers say. How about a great big slice for me, otherwise or professionally? He just wants more attention.
He's
from
working.
The blogger sphere. Yeah.
I was just going to say to add to what Matt said. I mean, the harmonies from Mikey would be incredible to add to this. But then when you hear Wolfie play, you're like, I don't know if Mikey could play that. So you have, you have such a great bass player in this. He's not a kid anymore, but in Wolfgang Van Halen.
Yeah.
Well, and it's kind of interesting because this was originally written in 76 when all songs were credited to all four of them. So somebody had asked Mikey, like, do you plan on suing for royalties? Because they were using a couple tracks that you were originally a part of. And obviously he didn't write them. So he's like, no, I'm just glad to hear the old stuff played again.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder... I wonder how much of the restructuring occurred. Like, what did they keep? What was restructured? Did Wolfie play something completely different on for this than what Mikey did? I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard the demo in forever. I'll have to dig that out again. But
The demo's a lot of guitar and the bass is kind of buried. But you know,
that sounds about right.
Do different. Yeah. But the, there's a part. The solo changes a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Let's keep going. That's a very Dave lyric. One empty floor stands between the stage and the welfare door.
Sammy would not write that. So that's to Dave's credit.
That's crazy Dave shit. And that's probably one of the best Dave vocal performances. I mean, it's the crazy best Dave one since that. That's for sure.
He does. Kevin's asking, though, that he's pretty unintelligible a lot of the time. General question, not shit disturbing. Do we know if they tuned Dave's vocals on this album?
So I do know that
probably
Dave did include the lyrics for you, Kevin, in the album. So you, if you have it, you can read them. Yeah,
you follow
one of the few albums that have the lyrics in it from Dave.
Given the time frame of when this was recorded, I'm going to assume probably.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A little bit of the auto tune, obviously not heavy auto tune because you would hear that a mile away. But there's probably a little bit of, you know, a little tweaking.
There's two thoughts from my standpoint. From what I understand, when they recorded this album, they weren't in the same room, clearly. But they recorded the thing and they sent it to Dave, and Dave knocked out the vocals pretty quick. And they got it back, and I think Eddie at the time was like, it was kind of unfuckable. It was pretty good, because when David goes off pitch just a little bit, it kind of works for David, because David's not always on pitch anyway. So to auto-tune or try and fix David's fuck-ups, besides the obvious ones, which they do for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's...
Yeah, him. I could see that, yeah. Yeah, he, you're right, though. He is when he's not on pitch correctly, he finds a way to make that work, whether it's him throwing in like weird little vocal trills or a howl.
He comes back to it.
Yeah, he comes back to it.
And he'll lose it and he'll come right back to where he's supposed to be.
It's that blues influence. He's got, you know, that blues vocal style, which is very, very evident. So, I could. He is really good at that. That's something. Another thing to Dave's credit. See, I'm not a Dave hater. I recognize when he's doing good.
Jeff says, I think Mike could have played Wolf's bass line. I don't think he was given the kind of freedom I'm sure Ed gave Wolf, which was all of it.
That's probably a very extremely accurate statement. Yeah.
It worked both ways. So we know Wolf can sing. He's the best singer in the band.
Yeah.
And they didn't give him a chance. Yeah. He barely sing anything.
Wolf can do everything. Wolf can play drums. He can sing.
He can
play bass. He can play guitar like his dad. So,
yeah. And Wolf in interviews like, he goes, I'm a passable drummer. He's not a passable drummer. He's a pretty damn good
fucking amazing. Have you heard Mammoth?
Lars Ulrich is a passable drummer.
Yeah,
there you
Lars
go.
Ulrich is exactly. Yeah. He's still Rudd. And
No, don't insult Phil Rudd like that.
No, I'm not. I was waiting. Come on. This is another topic. But Lars has his moments. But Wolfie is he's all world at everything.
He's solid. He's a solid musician. Yeah, it's that natural talent. But I mean, when your dad's Eddie, you know, it's gonna happen.
Yeah. Tell you what, if you guys have not heard the podcast he did with Chris Jericho, Talk is Jericho, talking about Mammoth, an amazing interview. I would recommend everybody go check that out.
Free plug.
And I hate Chris Jericho ever since he fucking bitched at me for like an hour on the Pot of Thunder.
Nemesis.
Did you get into it with him?
No. I submitted some questions for Pot of Thunder's Yard of Questions, and Chris Jericho was on the show, and he was drunk and angry at that point, and just bitched me out for my idiot questions for like 45 minutes. He kept calling me Colin from Toronto, and the guys know it's Corey, and I'm pretty sure he's not from Toronto. No, Colin from Toronto is an idiot. These questions suck. So
I love it. Chris. I like his show. I like his shtick, but his band fucking sucks. I've seen Fozzy, and it is like Fozzy? Watching clowns dance around on stage. Yeah. They are a high school metal band glorified. They're terrible. He sucks.
So. Don't let the AEW fans hear that, because they love singing that song when he comes, his entrance theme when he comes out.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. And Kevin Brown agrees, Phil Rudd, miles better than Lars Ulrich. He's got a swing that Lars Ulrich wishes he had.
Okay, for sure. Fine. For sure. Me and Brown are going to have it out. I have notes. It's fine.
All right. Well, let's finish Beats Working before we get into that.
Continue.
Do it.
All right, Mark, what do you think of those choruses before we get into the solo section here?
I like it, actually. I think they absolutely work. I think I see what Matt was alluding to with Dave's vocal work, because, you know, he's doubling up a lot, and he's doing work. He actually almost sounds like the Van Halen of old in this song. And something else I've noticed, the tempo with this song is almost deceptive, in the sense of you would imagine that older Van Halen might have given this one a little bit more of like an upbeat swing, that Van Halen swing that they all do, but they don't in this. It's kind of slow. It's like this slow driving force, but it's like a train, though. It doesn't stop moving. It doesn't really take a break. It just kind of goes. And maybe that's just because that low end is so heavy and it just really stands out. But I think it's almost a subversion of expectation, at least for me, because any moment now I'm like, okay, when are they going to like pick that tempo up and do the, you know, the Van Halen swing then? And they're not doing it. They're just like, nope, we're staying right here in this like slow and steady wins the race tempo. And it's working. It's kind of, again, subverting my expectations anyway. So I think that's really working for it overall. But that's where I'm at right now. Just got to get that line in real quick.
It's like, are they playing to a click or not? Because I don't know what Van Halen did when they recorded. I can't imagine they played to a click. But I don't know. It fluctuates, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. I don't know. I like
Alex might have, just for safety's sake, but I wouldn't be shocked if they said, like, no, I don't play with a click track on that. And I'm like, okay, cool. I believe it.
I think he says in Big Fat Money, he doesn't play with no stinking clip.
Well, there you go.
There it is.
Scott Monroe had an interesting comment. He says, Mikey's harmonies on the chorus here would have certainly elevated this version of Dave. See me wise magic.
I agree.
Yeah.
I would agree too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back. Tasty stuff.
Tasty stuff. And I tell you, if you had a fever, the prescription was cowbell, because Alex got you. He got you with that cowbell. Like, it's very hard to pull off the cowbell and be taken seriously, especially these days, because so many parodies. Alex just goes for it. It fits. It doesn't feel like out of place. It's like, oh yeah, of course, use the cowbell right there. It matches. It works. And I mean, I'm still wrapping my brain around the solo. So please,
it's kind of homage to Freeze. All Right Now, you know, that has the same kind of interlude. And in my opinion, this is the best. I mean, I think it's the best solo of the band together. Well, this is what I meant. With, I don't know if Mikey could pull that off. That bass that Wolf was just doing was incredible. And then Alex was fantastic. And that solo is another level that Ed does.
You know, that is such a great comparison to All Right Now. I remember when I have the Queen and Paul Rogers live disc, Return of the Champions. I actually saw Queen and Paul Rogers live, and they did All Right Now. They did that breakdown section with the bass. Very, very similar to this. That's a really good call.
Yeah.
Well, this is the outro to the last recorded thing that Eddie and Alex put together. Right. I mean, maybe not chronologically, but it is the last song on the last album that they recorded. And it's this is it. Right.
Yeah. Oh, Tom says Alex played to a click on the keyboard tunes.
Ah, probably because he had to.
That makes sense. Of course.
He's fucking him up. And he's like, all right. Yeah. Like, we'll do that. But that makes sense.
Yeah, and Jeff points out they had a keyboard player playing those keyboard parts off stage. It was Fitz from Night Ranger for several tours. I never knew that.
I didn't know that. Wouldn't have guessed. That's awesome.
Hey, Fitz.
Ah, yeah. Apologies to Fitz. Here we go.
It certainly beats working, and yeah, it beats anything David Lee Roth is doing now on his YouTube channel. So, kudos to you on that one. There you go, beats working. The ending track from A Different Kind of Truth. What a track to go out on too. That's it's interesting. It's interesting stuff. But I want to know. I want to hear from the gallery here. We'll start with you, Michael. You were familiar with it. You already had some things to say at the beginning, but having re-listened to Beats Working and thrown in your two cents, I must ask you, is Beats Working what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
Yeah, so this is my favorite song on the album. And I mean, think about this. So the career starts with a car horn, Running with the Devil, ends with what they always do. They have the best outros of any band on the planet. And they end with that outro. Then it winds down just kind of into like an abyss of nothingness. It's kind of sad, really, when you think about it, because the band's no more and Ed's passed. But it just, I mean, I can't believe they had the, I mean, I guess it's coincidence, but that this is the last song. It's a very fitting way to go. And a great, from start to finish, an incredible song.
It does kind of put a sort of melancholic spin on it when you put it into perspective like that. Yeah. Huh. Much to think about. So Jeff Brewer says a little too much wah for my liking, but that's just me. You can never wrong with too much wah. Well, maybe.
Come on.
I don't know. You can't take me at my word. I listen to a lot of Jimi Hendrix and, you know, wah. He was all about that wah. So, you know, what do I know? But Matt Lacoste, I know you're itching. You're dying to tell us how you feel. So please tell us, is Beats working? What dreams are made of? Or is the dream over?
Just adding on to what Michael had to say, you're right. Like that's a great beginning and end to the thing. And I don't know if they thought about that when they did it, but the way that song ends, and then also like, it's still Van Halen. Like for them to go out on a song, that beat's working, baby. Like it's just like it's a great sentiment, but it fits Van Halen from Sammy and Dave. Like that's the whole thing. Like that's the attitude of this band kind of summed up in a song, like just cocky as fuck. And it beats working. I don't know.
Well, yeah. They wouldn't let him scat. They wouldn't let him scat on this track. No. So he had to throw in what he could. So, you know,
he did his at the end.
Yeah. he threw in at what Rothisms he could without getting too cheesy. So there you go. Yeah. All right. Two yays. Throwing it over to my podcasting partner, Corey. You've been pretty positive on A Different Kind of Truth. So what do you say about Beats Working? Is it what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
Maybe my favorite song on A Different Kind of Truth, that and She's the Woman, I kind of go back and forth on, but really, really love this track. I really love this album. This is the album, along with Van Halen 3, that I listened to probably the least going into the show, and we started this, 98 weeks ago. So very, very long ago, and I thought it'd be great to revisit A Different Kind of Truth. And I'm really glad, like, this has been one of the revelations for me doing this show, is just how kick-ass this record is and how fantastic it is. And Beats Working absolutely encompasses that. And I agree with every word Matt said, actually, for this. It kind of solidifies everything you love about Van Halen. It's cocky as fuck. Beats Working has kind of been their attitude throughout their entire career. This is Van Halen in a little capsule, and it's so apropos that this is the track that they went out on, not even knowing that they were going to go out on this track. The fact that this finished off the career, I think, is very, very appropriate. I only downvoted one song on this record, and it was very, very borderline out of space. Both you and I said barely, just kind of down. But yeah. This is another big thumbs up for me. Mark Meyer, you didn't listen to A Different Kind of Truth very much either coming into this, so I'm curious, is this what dreams are made of for you, or is the dream over?
I'm in agreement with you in that thus far, this is certainly my favorite track off of this album. Everything Matt prophesized came to fruition. My one thing is, like, I don't know if it's necessarily in for me, Dave's tour de force as in vocals, but his vocals are very, very good. They're very his harmonies, his self harmonies, as it turns out, are very tight, very clean. I love the little Rothisms that he squeezed in there. I actually kind of love that he was able to do that, and it fits the song. I already mentioned how the structure subverts expectations. At least it did for me, and I really like that. I really, really like that this was kind of the ending track. It is sad, though. It's sad when you think about it in those terms, but of any song to end this particular record on, it certainly had to. It had to be this. It had to be Beats Working. And you know, it's all in the title, as you guys have said. You know, it's like, hey, Beats Working. Beats you know, doing a 9-to-5, or like you know, Dad wanted me to be a doctor, and I said, no, pop, zoobada bop, not doing that. So, and it just everything about this just it rips. The song rips. I was expecting this to be pretty good. I didn't expect it to rip like it did, and it does. And just because it's not fast-paced thrash like you might expect, and not even the typical Van Halen swing, it still rips. It's still heavy. That low end is incredible. So kudos to Wolfgang on that, and kudos to the production. And it just, yeah, this gives me hope that what we have left from this album might actually really surprise me in a big bad way. I haven't been, as you pointed out, Corey, I haven't been keen on all of A Different Kind of Truth, but this one really makes me hope that we get something a little bit more kind of like it. We probably won't have something comparable, but something like it would be nice to hear.
Two tracks left on this record.
So maybe in those two tracks, or I'll be bitterly disappointed. Who knows? Either way, we can all safely clean sweep across the board. Beats working, slays. It is what dreams are made of. Great track. Great. I mean, just, yeah, I'm actually really, really happy we spun this one.
Now, a lot of comments in the chat asking me to play Put Out the Lights. Since we're not playing the Price is Right game because they never played Beats Working Live, what do you say we listen to a little bit of the demo from way back in 1976? Oh, yeah. This is all right. This is Put Out the Lights.
Pause there for a second.
Put that stank on that vocal.
That's the part that would be great with Michael Anthony. Like that weird chorus sucked. What they the new chorus is better, I think. But like that the new chorus, part coming in with Ross vocals on that awesome. If Michael Anthony was behind him,
is this song about Eddie Van Halen? Or, I mean.
Well, it's about Fast Eddie. He's Eddie? Ready.
Yeah. I think he's Fast Eddie. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, Fast Eddie.
I don't know, man. I'm really
his name is Eddie.
He's like, yeah, just keep talking about Eddie the whole time. I'm having trouble kind of deciding where my allegiance lies in these two different versions now, because I really like this demo.
Yeah, this demo
sounds awesome.
Kevin Brown says, "No, that is Van Halen, baby. Such a strut." I want to keep going on this because I'm going to get to the solo section.
Yeah, let's go.
Like, so, yeah, let's a little bit more about Fast Eddie, sure.
Bye.
You can tell it's of that particular early era just based on the energy that Dave is exuding from this versus what became later in the A Different Kind of Truth era.
Yep.
Kevin asks, I wonder why this didn't make Van Halen 2. Anyone know? I don't know. I kind of wish it had.
Scott Monroe has a theory because they already had a song with light in the title.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, you're not gonna like get rid of Light Up the Sky.
No, and Kevin says this destroys the Different Kind of Truth track for me.
Is that when that was recorded? Anyone else feel it? Was like 76, 77?
76.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know, man. Please.
I would just say, please, Alex Van Halen, hire Dunlandy again and remaster all these Dave unreleased songs. Because hearing this, you know, remastered would be great. Plus, so much more.
Yeah, and that didn't even sound too bad either.
I'm not a big fan of going back and listening to demos because to me, it's just like a whatever cut of a movie that wasn't meant to be. And it's like, I don't give a shit. I want to see the thing that they meant and that's it. Done and done. I don't have time for the rest of the bullshit. And, you know, the Van Halen thing is interesting, but I just think the way I can understand why they looked at that song as something they had to have recorded at some point. But I like what they did on A Different Kind of Truth. Yeah. Like that whole, like that whole bridge going into the chorus and then that beat's working like on top of the chords instead of put out the lights. Like that's just,
yeah.
I don't know. I think they approached it better later.
Yeah. I wonder if,
demo, but it's just like, it's a demo. I don't know.
I wonder if Wolfie had a lot of input going like, I like what you guys did in this demo, but what if we do this and, you know, kind of rework it and just, you know, put more of that edge, sort of like that harder edge to it. I don't know. I don't know if that's how the conversation went, but if it did, I wouldn't be shocked.
Mark, that's my favorite question about A Different Kind of Truth. How much did Wolfgang have to do with that? How much did Wolfgang control Dave? Because I think a lot. I think he was like, no, you got to sing it like this. And this is what you're going to do. And then maybe Dave at some point was like, this kid ain't telling me what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my own fucking bullshit. He did it so much different. Like,
yeah.
You sing in a band. When you sing in a band, yeah, and you phrase a song to some music, it's really hard to get that out of your brain, right? And and Dave wrote that shit and he changed it all up for this later stuff. So I don't know. Was that David? I don't know if he's capable of change.
He could have. What I can say is, you know, singing in bands and then recording things. I always think of, yeah, I like what I recorded. However, I wish I could have tweaked that just a little bit more. If I could do it all again, like I would try it this way instead. And sure. So maybe you're right. Maybe this was Dave going like, yeah, it's just like, maybe I, it's like, okay, this is what I did in the demo. It was like, well, what if I try it this way this time? Because he certainly isn't going to hit all those high notes he was howling in the demos. He's like, okay, by necessity. It's by necessity, I have to change it. You
it's
know?
A total change. Like,
yeah,
the way he approaches the song is completely different. Anyway, I don't know.
And maybe that had a lot to do with it. Just having the 2012, 2011, like when they recorded, having the older perspective versus where they were in 76. Maybe it was just, I'm approaching this song in a different light. No pun intended, but and it could have all been Dave, or it could have been Wolfie. He might have taken some notes. Like Wolfie said, hey, have you thought about trying it this way? Because I'm doing this, and it would sound cooler if you do that. I don't know. These are good questions, and I don't know if we'll get the answers to them, but we like asking them.
When you guys do the live show for A Different Kind of Truth, you need to play both versions of each song. Do the regular version, then do the demo.
Oh, sure.
Good call. Yeah, we'll totally do that. I'm wondering if maybe in the back of David's mind, too, he's thinking, you know, we recorded that on the demo, and the demo failed because Gene Simmons took that route and couldn't get a record deal, right? And you know, Gene Simmons fucking up a lot in that era because he also wanted them to change their name to Daddy Long Legs, which is just brain dead, right?
You know what that says to me? That's because Gene Simmons is not a moron. No, that's the thing. He's not an idiot. Like he's an evil genius, if anything. Yeah. But so it makes me wonder if that was if that suggestion was like sabotage in a way.
He wanted Ed just like and Kiss.
Right. He's sabotage, if I tell them to change their name and they change it to, I don't know, Daddy Long Leg, it's like, oh, that'll never track. Like, nobody will like that. And then they'll quit. And then he'll have to come to me. That sounds like something.
One band down. And then I can go do Runaway Part 2 while the band's flounder.
He wanted Ace out of the band in 76. He was trying
to.
Right. Yeah.
Recruit Ed.
Yeah.
And Al.
But let's give the final word to Scotty Monroe, who says, praise be to Wolfie, because we wouldn't have had the album full stop if not for him. That is absolutely 100% right. And I just want to remind the powers that be in the Van Halen camp, you re-released all the early Dave records. You're about to re-release the Sammy era records. Re-release A Different Kind of Truth on vinyl, because I'm looking for a fucking copy, and you can't get one for under $500. So I would love to get a remastered copy of A Different Kind of Truth on vinyl.
All right, so we're on the topic, and, you know, I know we're going long, but what is the deal with A Different Kind of Truth on Apple Tunes? Have we ever gotten an explanation as to why that's gone?
No.
Like, I have the CD, so I can burn it if I have to, but, like, it's not on iTunes. Like, I just had to re-update my iTunes subscription, and I lost everything because Apple sucks, and I can't get that back.
It's also not on YouTube Music, and it's not on Spotify either. I had to actually I had to open up my iTunes because I also have the CD, so I just brought it up on iTunes. But yeah,
does anybody know why that happened?
No idea.
I don't think we actually figured it out.
Two things. Either one, it's very close to going gold by the RIAA, so they could. I could see Warner, and I think maybe Warner's going to try to buy it from Interscope, so they have the whole catalog, and they'll try to re-release it. Okay. Or, which could be maybe more probable, they just didn't file the paperwork and it lapsed and it just needs to be renewed to be on all the streaming services. So
good. I mean, yeah, that's what if that's actually the truth of the matter? It's just like, oh yeah, we forgot to refile.
It's not there to stream. Like, it makes no sense from a business perspective. What are you fucking doing? It's not there. Right.
Sounds like it was an accident that has yet to be rectified. So who knows? Yeah, if it's something more than that, I'd be very curious to know. But as far as we know at the time of this recording, we don't know. Shrug, just big old shrug. So, but be on the lookout for that, you guys. I'm sure at some point somebody, the powers that be, will take notice of. Hey, wait, where the hell is A Different Kind of Truth? And they'll fix it. Or they'll do like this huge grand re-release, and then finally Corey will get his vinyl for $300, not $500. Because
I'm in line with you, Corey. We'll do it together.
Greedy fucks in the record labels. So yeah, there you go. hey, you guys, there it is. Another show down, another one off the wheel. The text is getting so bold we can read very clearly every time it spins. So. And, you know, Kevin's mentioning, look, that shit does happen. You know, if you get to re-register some stuff and then somebody snags it and changes it. So
he's probably right.
I think Michael, you're onto something that might have been what happened. So hopefully they get that fixed. But until that time, we'll just be over here listening to it. If you have it on CD or on your iTunes already without the update fucking it up, then enjoy it. Enjoy the song. Because you can't hear it anywhere else. That means you got to stream this episode over and over and over again so you can listen to the track. You get two tracks for the price of one. You might say this is the same song. Like, no, it's not. They're structured different. They're very different. So that is what we do here at Podcast Will Rock. We provide you with a fun entertainment, two for the price of one. We don't do it always, but we try to, and we're here to entertain you because we are humble fans. We are not rock historians, and we're certainly not Van Halen experts. Hence all my questions of, I wonder what they were thinking when, blah, 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 because I don't know. And I've never claimed to be an expert to know. So take that, you haters. Anywho, big thanks to our honored guests, our honoree panelists and members of the show at this point, Michael Griffith, Matt Lacoste. Thank you so much for your patronage, as always, and your insight. Very glad we spun a track. You guys were hyped to talk about. It's always a good time. Thank you guys so much. Michael, you got anything you want to plug, anything you want to share with the folks at home?
Just socials are at Mike S. Griffith, so... Talk Van Halen, hit me up there.
There you go. Talk Van Halen. Matt Lacoste, always a pleasure. How about you?
Nothing. At Scared Hippie on the X Twitter thing. Who cares? Good to talk to you guys. That's all I care about. It's good to talk to you boys about Van Halen. Thanks for having me.
Always.
We'll do it again always next month.
Anytime. Yes, we will. Cool. Corey, well, actually, before I get to you, Corey, I'm going to go ahead and I mentioned these two gentlemen joining the show once again, honored patrons. So let me take a list or show you all what the other honored patrons are that have joined our Patreon. We've got Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rava Flav, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, Jeff Brewer, Ben Andreozzi, Tom Armbruster, Scott Everett, Heath McCoy, Janice Risco, and Brad Gould. Thank you all so much for helping
Greg
us
Zito.
Keep the... And I said Greg Zito.
Did you say Greg Zito? I didn't hear Greg Zito.
After
I want to make sure
Caldwell.
We got him in there. Okay. Just making sure.
Well, Greg Zito. We appreciate you, my dude. We love Zito all of you. Wins. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you for helping us keep the lights on, keep the podcast going. We are nearing the end, you guys. And then when that happens, it's kind of up to you guys what we do after that. So, you know, keep the support going, keep us going, because Corey will not rest until every podcast is under his dominion. What's up, Matt?
Let me ask you a question. So when you finish this, mm-hmm. is there going to be a Sammy David solo album thing?
We had talked about maybe because there's 4 weeks in a month. We talked about doing a Sammy week where you have a Sammy wheel, a Dave wheel, a Wolfie / Extreme wheel, and a fourth wheel for requests. Maybe we just open it up to the patrons and the Twitter followers to request tunes for the fourth week.
Combine them all. David and Sammy is a real interesting dichotomy. It's really interesting. I don't know who's
that would
better.
Be a
I really
huge
don't.
Wheel.
I know.
Sammy alone is
like the Wabos.
Yeah, I know. Let's say like Sammy by himself is like that wheel is humongous. So.
It's 1,000 we'll songs, and David's got like 4 albums. But what were you gonna say, Corey?
If you the people want to hear it, want to see it, then you gotta let us know. Scott's like,
I want it.
People, we don't want you guys to put out the lights. Bravo, Scott. Always good.
That's right.
So there you go. Join the Patreon and let us hear from you. Let us know what we can do once this iteration of the show comes to a close. I know we don't want to talk about it too soon, but I just, you know, it bears repeating that we are nearing the end. So stay tuned, keep the conversation alive, and, you know, keep us motivated to do some more. Also, go to podcastwillrock.com. You can find all of the back catalog of the shows. You can find our merch store. We mentioned the Apologies to Gary t-shirt. Please, I need all of you, all of us, to buy those shirts, wear them around, show your friends, explain to them why we're wearing them so that eventually Gary will see somebody wearing that shirt and he'll go, what the hell is that? And then he has no choice but to look us up and figure and be like, all right, let me see what these guys are all about. And then we can have an honest to God conversation. And I would love to pick his brain. So go to the merch store, find some merch. And even if you don't get that shirt, we've got plenty of other merch options for you. So it's always a good time. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or X, whatever the hell it's called. We have an Instagram, but there's nothing on it. So don't worry about it. It's fine. And then, Corey, where can the people find some other like-minded podcasts that they want to get into?
Will and Mark, they can check out the Deep Dive Podcast Network featuring such shows as Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited featuring myself and Scott Haskin, Backtracks Theme Music featuring myself and John Mariano, The Ultimate Catalog Clash featuring myself and Kevin Brown. This season, we're breaking down Phil Collins' era Genesis. That's been a great experiment. Getting very close to wrapping up season one. Then we get to pick a band for season two. I can't wait for that. Kevin Brown also does a show called The Tom Petty Project. And with Mr. Randy Woods, he does a show called Seaside Pod Review, talking all things Queen. Scott Haskin also does a show called Uriah Heep, The Magician's Podcast. Then we have Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnard Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods. Check them up before they wrap things up later this year. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madmen, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, that's American Music versus Canadian Music. That one's a lot of fun. Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, talking all things Megadeth. Quinn at And Volume for All. Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. Chaz and Greg just wrapped up Regarding Lulu, but they're going to be starting Regarding Roger, that Roger Whitaker podcast. That's going to be coming up soon. And Chaz and Chats do Rush Rash, which apparently I'm recording an episode of next week. I can't wait for that. I might get my Canadian passport taken away, but I don't listen to a ton of Rush, so it's going to be interesting to see what I spit on that one. They got a wheel on their show. It's a very original concept. They put all the songs on a wheel and they spin it. So good on you, Chaz and Shats. Geez, it sounds like a light beer you get like in the Dominican.
Hey, Corey.
Yes, sir.
Make it through that Rush podcast.
I hope I do too, my friend. I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting. We also have some of our other friends, the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast, You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, the DLR cast, the Bogus Oda Show, Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, Dissect That Film, and Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast.
Woohoo. And I think for season two, of the Ultimate Catalog Clash, I think you must absolutely talk about the band Rainbow. That's my
Rainbow.
Vote.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do some Rainbow. I don't know, just some more Dio. Everyone celebrate Dio. Dio is great.
Hey, I'm digging some Rainbow, and actually, we had to push back to Steve Rosen's show, but I'm at the part in the book where he took Eddie Van Halen to meet Richie Blackmore, who is just ginormous asshole apparently. So yeah. that was a really good chapter in the book.
Yeah,
that's a consistent thing about old Richie. He doesn't have a great track record of anybody.
I thought he was the best guitar player of all time. Everybody else, wow.
Yeah. Kevin really hopes you spend all of 2112, and I kind of do too. Just if nothing,
I don't
else
got that kind of time. That'll take all night.
Chaos reigns, you know. Just let's do that.
Would anybody spend all of 2112? It's just the first song, and that's it, right? The road.
How dare you? There are movements.
I'm out. That's it. After
look,
that,
it's not. Yeah, that album is not for everybody. I'll say that. But man, if you can find yourself a time to sit and listen to it and just sort of kind of take it all in, then 2112 has got some incredible things. So, but if you're not into the stylings of Rush, then it might not be your jam, and that's
Corey,
totally cool.
Are you a Rush guy?
Unless you're a Canadian like Corey, who's apparently not a Rush guy, which doesn't make any sense. But you know.
I like their documentaries. I don't think I've ever sat down and listened to an entire Rush record. Right. I like the odd song, but
now's the time.
I didn't get huge into Rush. Maybe I'll be converted going on Rush Rash, which sounds like a venereal disease. Like, doctor, it burns when I pee. Oh, you got Rush Rash.
Oh, you're going to get that Rush Rash. I guarantee it.
I love them.
It's going to infect you. It's going to infect you, Corey.
We're on the road to Bangkok. I'm like, out. Bangkok? What do you mean? What am I doing? What's going on? I have to leave. I don't like the song. Okay. Anyway.
There you go. Boys. Be on the lookout for that. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram as well. You know, when you have a problem with how I discuss my feelings on the Sammy and David of it all, go ahead, tweet at me. Otherwise, just We're here to hang out. We're here to have fun. We're here to talk about a band that we love. No discrimination. That's what I'm laughing at Kevin's comments in the chat. He's going to pull Corey to the Rush side eventually. Got the Geddy Lees. You're going to get them. They're going to infect you, and you are going to be a lifelong fan.
Good night, buddies. Love you guys. Thank you very much.
On that note, yes. On behalf of Corey, Michael, and Matt, and myself, we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.